All righty then. It is Tuesday, a great Tuesday, Bill wishes everyone, and so do we. This is Connections here on MSL News Sports. It's sort of a bi-weekly. Is it bi-weekly when you do it twice a week? Is that, no, or, I don't know, I can't, I forget how to use it.
Bi-weekly would be
every
other
2 weeks?
Week.
Okay, yeah. So this is twice a week. I don't know how you describe it. Anyway, it's on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 11 here, live on MSO. I'm Rick Moore, along with Josh Arnold and Bill Newell, and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And today we have the usual eclectic lineup. We're going to talk some current events here, both local and otherwise, in just a few minutes, a little roundtable that we start off our program with. We'll also be checking in with Greg Verga. Now, Greg is the host of Unfinished Music. It's a live program. It's a live recorded, if there is such a thing, program with local musicians featuring their own unique compositions. And Greg will be by in a little while to talk about that and other stuff. We'll also have our Merrimack, our Eagle Eye on the Merrimack Valley with Lawrence Eagle Tribune reporter Bill Kirk. And checking in with Dave Radigan. Bill Newell will have be talking with Dave, and Dave has just about a unique perspective on everything. And today they'll be talking about the new hands-free cell phone law that'll be taking place this week in Massachusetts. So all that coming up and more. We've got a few other features. Josh wants to mention some stuff here that I think is of interest. But we're going to start it off with Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, man.
Good morning.
So the primary season rumbles on, Bill. I don't know if you want to start there or not, but so much going on with the national media. But the rise of Bloomberg is beginning to percolate in the Democratic Party.
Well, what's interesting, you could see the rise of Michael Bloomberg, but you could also see a possible fall of Michael Bloomberg, too, if you're following the news stories as to some of the stuff that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens. Apparently, he is qualified for tomorrow night's Nevada debate, so he'll be in that field, as we understand it. The Nevada caucuses are Saturday. They've already started to vote there. Elizabeth Warren will be in that debate as well tomorrow night in Nevada. And, you know, it's a couple of things are out there, and maybe Josh can comment on it, too. But there's thinking out there that, you know, the Democratic Party does not want Bernie Sanders, but yet he has pretty much won in Iowa, won in New Hampshire, both very close, obviously. Probably trails in delegates, however, though. That's how crazy that is. Now he's charging in South Carolina and leading in Nevada. And but they want to stop him. And there's one set of thinking out there that the one person that could stop him would be Elizabeth Warren, who holds, you know, many of the same kind of people, if you will, followers. And if she were to get out of the race, those delegates or those people would go over to Bernie, possibly. So I thought Elizabeth Warren might get out of the race sooner rather than later after Super Tuesday. But she may hang in there because the Democratic Party may want her to stay in there. And she may find some, interesting contributions made to her campaign to keep her in, just to make sure Bernie doesn't get over that 50% mark.
Well, you know, that's interesting. We played a game as growing up on the golf course called Fumble Slaughter, and it was, 10 or 15 people.
I don't know what that is, Josh, but it sounds like it could be appropriate. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you why. It wasn't like two sides playing football. You threw the football up in the air, and the person who caught it ran as fast as they could to not get tackled. And then the other 14 people would try to tackle them and knock them down. And as you get tackled, you throw the ball up, and someone else takes it and runs with it. That's what I see a little bit of the Democratic Party right now. They don't want Bernie Sanders. They don't want Bloomberg. Here's a guy that spent $400 million of his own money and doesn't have a delegate yet. And was a Republican just a few years ago and has similar baggage to Donald Trump. So you're going to beat Donald Trump by having someone who's a billionaire who insults people the same way that Donald Trump does. I'm not sure that's, is that a sheep in wolf's clothing or a wolf in sheep's clothing? At any rate, I don't know how it plays out. Biden may rally back because the other choices aren't that good.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's funny, and the other thing is Nevada's a caucus state, but it sounds like they're doing it differently than Iowa did, because you can pre-vote in Iowa. People have already gone to the polls. So I don't know. They have some kind of a scan sheet that you must rank your vote, so somehow that all goes into the computer. It doesn't go into that same app that they used in Iowa. They scratched that, but it'll be interesting. There are some people that are wondering whether it's going to go smoothly or not in Nevada, but it probably will be fine, and they'll be okay with counting the caucus votes in Nevada this coming Saturday. And then right after that comes South Carolina, the next test, and then Super Tuesday that we've been mentioning, which involves Massachusetts and about 12 other states as well on March 3rd.
I think there's a fundamental flaw that just doesn't keep that people need to come back to, and that is the reason you're running for office is what? And for the Democrats, it needs to be a message that says you can do better with us because we offer A, B, C, D, E, and this is our vision of what the country is, and this is why you'll be better with us. As long as the message is, we'll back anybody who can beat Trump, that's a problem. That's a party and a country going in the wrong direction. That harkens back to 68 when Nixon barely beat Hubert Humphrey. It wasn't so much a mandate for him. It was more of a mandate of where it didn't want to go. It wanted to go away from the Vietnam War. It wanted to go away from this big brother thing, and we were still on the heels of our mini-revolution then. They have to have a direction in which they want to go. They have to have a message. And it didn't work for Hillary. It's not going to work for another group of people. They've got to have a message and a platform that's other than, we don't like this guy.
Yeah, in 68 is an interesting thing, too, because Hubert Humphrey, then vice president, under the baggage of Lyndon Johnson, who had soared to victory so hugely in 64 after the assassination of John Kennedy. But Humphrey wouldn't distance himself from Lyndon Johnson, and so thus, I think if he had to do it over again, he would have distanced himself, and we would have had a President Hubert Humphrey probably in 1968.
Yeah, he was coming on strong. If he had, done a, if he peaked two weeks too late. The other thing is there were rumblings at the time that Lyndon Johnson's attempt to have a peace settlement were interfered with by the Republicans, that they intervened, which would be treasonous, but they got away with it. And there's lots of different places in history where the other party meddled a little bit to make one party look good or bad, and it certainly...
If Hubert Humphrey were elected, we'd have to have a rewrite of that introduction to the national anthem, the guy who couldn't pronounce Herbert Hoover's name, Herbert, and that's why, I know you know this, that's why when the president is announced, he's announced as the President of the United States. They don't usually give the name, although I guess that's changed a little bit. Bill, I want to bring it a little closer to home, if I may. Talk about something that...
I know our time is we've gone a little long here, but just make it quickly that Salem News did a story today on coyotes, and there's been buzz in a lot of different communities in the last couple of weeks about increased sightings of coyotes. Interesting story in the sense that, yes, it's coyote mating season, so they become a little bit more aggressive, walk out beyond their normal so-called unofficial borders, if you will, and... But there's also another piece. Don Famico, the Salem animal officer, says that construction has disrupted some coyotes. Certainly in Salem that could be the case. Not sure about other areas. But, yeah, there seems to be an increased number of coyotes, certainly coyote sightings. So keep an eye on that. Channel 5 actually had a video last night of a coyote or a couple of coyotes in the backyard, and they nabbed a small white dog. There were two dogs in this backyard. Right in the mouth, they ran off with the dog, but apparently the dog got away and was found on a neighbor's back steps. Okay, in the sense that they just took her to the vet, or him to the vet, and he's okay. But just something to be aware of. And I know animal owners are very much aware of that piece right now. But keep your eye out. You never know.
When we had a dog, I was out walking the dog early in the morning and saw a coyote. It was a little white dog. It was a Bichon, and afraid that my dog would see the coyote and want to attack, I just picked the dog up and carried it home.
According to Famico Bill, he says, if you see a coyote, you should try to intimidate them. They're very bold. Had one in the backyard here in recent years, and he came right up to the sliding glass door in the kitchen and looked in. But he says, make a lot of noise, be bigger than they are, make yourself bigger, stand tall, which is hard for some of us, yell. Some people, he's been told, carry one of those boat horns, a compressed air horn, a whistle. So that was the idea. But he also says that if the coyote becomes more aggressive, that's a possible sign of a rabid coyote, and, call 911. This is according to Famico. So good stuff, we have to be aware. Another thing we have to watch out for, I guess. Bill, have a good day.
You got it.
And we'll talk to you later. Thank you, sir.
See you, Bill.
Now I'm afraid to go out, Rick.
Yeah, but you can stand tall, Bill. All right, talk to you later.
And carry a loud horn.
There you go. All right. Yeah. You and Josh are both tall. All right. That's Bill Newell. Josh Arnold is here. Bill is about, 6'5", I guess. What are you?
6'5".
6'5". And I won't go to where I am anyway. Okay. So good advice there.
You could stand on the box with Bloomberg.
If I just have to bring it with me. Yeah. Okay. So let's see here. All right, coming up, we're going to check in with Greg Virgo. Lots to do here in this next hour. Josh is going to have another history lesson for you about Rantoul Street in Beverly, which I think is of interest. We won't get into the whole thing because it's about 95,000 pages long, but he can give us a little thumbnail on that in just a while. So let's take our first break. We'll check in with Greg Virgo. This is Connections here on MSO News Sports. If you have suggestions, comments, complaints, send them along to msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. There's just that one S in the middle. MSO News Sports or MSO News Sports. Here's the other thing. You can find us at msosports.com or msonews.com. All right, we'll be right back.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddocks, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos. Plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley and Bradford Tavern.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Alrighty, we're going to go live to the man who does live recordings. I never understood that phrase. Greg Virgo is with us. He's the host of Unfinished Music, among other things. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Greg.
And Josh is here as well.
Oh, hey, Josh. How's it going?
Good, Greg.
So Greg, a lot of stuff going on. Generally, I get you on here to talk local politics or even national politics as sort of a balance to some of the things that we do here. But music is the thing, and I've never had you on as a music guest yourself, and that's what I want to do today, have you on both as a music host and a music guest. So I want to start with your next program coming up. You do have one lined up, I believe, that we'll be posting here on MSO.
Yes, we recorded this past Saturday, The Surnames, and the premiere for On Demand should be the end of the month, February 29th. They're a great local band. I do have some videos on my Facebook page, the Unfinished Music Facebook page. I was really impressed with these guys. People should check them out now, and then stay tuned for the on-demand opportunity at the end of the month.
I'm getting a tremendous echo, Greg. Can you hold the phone closer, or put it, hello?
Is that any better?
Oh, goodness gracious, yes, much better. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah, and much clearer. So again, tell me about the band. What's the makeup of the band? What kind of music do they play? And we should point out that on Unfinished Music, as far as I can remember, you do all original music. Is that correct? Very few, if any, covers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've probably had maybe one cover in the last, since we started 3+ years ago. So, yeah, it's all original music. Started out as a Cape Ann-based thing, but, you know, I've stretched out to people from Boston and up towards Newburyport as well. The surnames, actually, though, are from Gloucester. It's a four-piece band. Leanne Anastasia Murphy is the leader of the band, the lead singer, and the chief writer. I guess you could say their sound is, it's indie. That's the term these days. Not like your typical top 40 pop. It's not classic rock. It's just sort of something right there in the middle that I really enjoyed a lot. You know, makeup's two guitars, drums, and bass.
Okay, the band you had last week or the week before, you got to tell me about that, the group. A bunch of kids in the photos, good grief, they look mature. They look like serious musicians on the one hand. But tell me about those kids because I want to direct people to that program also.
Oh, absolutely. So that was Totality. They were in, I think, the end of January. We got that posted early in February. And they're three seniors from Rockport High School, and then I believe they're sophomores, one from Manchester and one from Gloucester High. And I said to them while they were playing, because their music is sort of in the same genre as Surnames, and I said, you know, the style of music you guys are playing does not fit your age group, you know, and they were really good, and you're right, they did not seem like high school kids. You know, they were really mature, and mature musicianship of all of them.
Excellent. Now, Greg,
and people can find Surnames and Totality on Spotify, and there's another site, Bandcamp, and all the places they usually get this music streaming.
All right.
You know, they're local bands. We should be supporting local artists, so people should click on to Spotify and give it a listen.
What about Greg Verger? Is he in a band right now?
Yes, I'm currently playing with Deb Hardy. The funny thing, you'll enjoy this, we were the Deb Hardy band, but now it's Deb Hardy, and the three of us have adopted the name The Alternative Facts. So,
how about, you could have done fake news and just covered everything.
So Deb Hardy is the lead singer and guitarist, and then we have Jeff Small, who's lead guitar and backup vocals. John Newcomer is a newcomer to the band. He just joined on drums about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I play bass. So, and we're actually going to be playing at Magma, upstairs from the Browns Mall, on Saturday, March 7th from 7 to 9. It's a $10 cover charge, but, should be fun. It's a great room, great sound there.
My wife and I are worried about the name Magma because it reminds me of a guy in a red hat. What is Magma?
Well, it's funny because I had Sarah, the one who runs Magma, as a guest on Unfinished Music several months back, and I accidentally did call it MAGA. So instead of Make America Great Again, which, to put a quick political plug in here, America's always been great. It didn't take some guy with the goofy slogan to do it. But Magma is a whole different thing. It's primarily was a dance studio, and she does dance classes up there. But it's also, she's starting to have a lot more shows with music and other, more variety type shows.
All right, and that's in Gloucester.
It's also available for rent, so people could reach out to her for that.
All right, and that's in Gloucester, I believe, on Pleasant Street?
Yeah, upstairs from the old Pleasant Street Tea Company.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Now, the other thing I want to ask you, Greg, and this is a bit of a curveball because I didn't prep you for this, but, you mentioned where you guys will be playing. Can you tell me about some of the venues around either Gloucester, Salem, Beverly, the North Shore, or whatever, where bands do play? Because I know that I've had guests come from different parts of the country, and they want to know where the music is. And, I know that the Rum Line is one place, and I'm not up with the others. So can you maybe mention a couple and maybe, some of the bands that are familiar to at least the local folk, maybe some folk, people don't know about?
I would direct people to, I just got turned on to this blog, bluesilver.wordpress.com. Is it blue SLVR .wordpress. And it's Joanne Silva, who's like, I'd say probably one of the biggest music fans in town. Whenever we're out playing, she's there taking photos, and it's not just us, all the bands. She seems to be at all the shows and putting them all over Facebook. But this blog of hers, it just covers what's going on. It has music around town the week of February 17th to the 23rd. It has things like Machaca, the Mexican place down on Roger Street. They've been having a singer-songwriter challenge, $1,000 prize, and they've got it coming up again this week at, tomorrow, Wednesday, 7:30. So people can go check out some excellent talent, and that's, you know, I was in the singer-songwriter challenge with my band, 3 years ago, and the talent comes from all over the place, you know, and it's a good, night out.
All right, hold on a second. Give me the name of the blog again.
Okay, so it's Blue, B-L-U-E.
Yep.
S-S-L-V-R.
Wait a minute, X?
Yes.
S. It's silver without the, vowels. S-L-V-R.
Yeah.
.wordpress.com.
WordPress, and the whole WordPress is spelled out?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good. I'll have to find that and see if I can link to that. Okay, and where did you say that the challenge is?
Machaca. It's across from the Cape Ann Brewery.
Okay.
So she's got everything on her side. She's got what's coming up at the Rum Line, you know. Funk du Jour is going to be there tonight, it looks like. Flyer Marrow's got a thing going on Wednesdays. Dossett Brothers on Friday. So, you know, check it out. So in addition to that, I mean, seasonal, so you've got Minglewood, Minglewood Harborside, you know, across next door to the brew pub. They have music as well. They have a open mic that goes on Monday nights, which is actually how I've been finding guests for unfinished music. Seasonally, you can go to Captain Carlos or the over across from the movie theater. And why am I drawing a blank on the name? Somebody help me out with that one. You know, where the gull was, the marina. You know, we've lost a few places that have, you know, since closed over the last couple of years. So it'd be nice if someone would open a real music club. Because right now we don't really have a club. We have space within a bar or a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mile Marker is the place I was trying to think of over on Essex Ave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yep.
There's a lot going on. And actually, Cape Ann Brewery, they're closed for the next few weeks for the winter, but they have music sometimes, too. As does Jalapenos. They have Dan King, you know. He plays with Doug Brown and others on, I think, every Tuesday. They're KBMG is the name of the band.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a surprisingly vibrant music scene in Gloucester. I don't think people realize that.
No. All right. That's a lot of stuff. And I know that, you know, when you do the bands, you have there's a lot of talent that comes in. As you say, and that's just in Gloucester, and this spreads out to all over the place. So again, Greg, what do you have coming up at the end of this month? And then let me know if you have any other acts lined up, or maybe how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, well, I'm in negotiations right now with a couple of acts, get them on the show. They both want to do it. We're just trying to find a date that works for us. So the first one is Cape Berry and the Nouveau Groove. I think I mentioned that when I was on one of your shows recently. They're a great jazzy band. Kate's got a great voice. And then Lindsay Page Garfield, who actually I saw at open mic on a few weeks back, she's got a great voice as well. So those are two I've got lined up. But if people out there themselves, or they know of others who might be a good fit, again, all original music, that's the only requirement. Bands or individual acts, we'd love to accommodate them. They can just give me a call at 508-284-3399, or just email Greg at gregverga.com.
All right, and again, we should point out that you have your own music studio. It's in a beautiful part of Gloucester, right off the highway, right off of 128. And you are very accommodating. You even supply water to those who need it, as well as all the plugins.
Yes, right. And sometimes if we have people who are of age, we give them beer too.
Yes, especially on a hot summer day.
Yes.
I do remember that. Well, Greg, is there anything else you want to mention? I want to. I thank you very much for stopping by today, because I love this stuff and putting it out there. The music is exceptional. It really is. It's just so much good music, and I think it's great that what you're doing to promote it. So, anything else you might want to mention?
No, I just want to urge people to support local music in any way they can, and be sure to check out the Facebook page for Unfinished Music, because they can see what's coming and what we've had, links to all of the shows that link to your website, MSO, and I appreciate the support we've been getting for the last 3 or so years.
Right back at you. Thanks. Thank you, Greg. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, Greg.
All right.
That is Greg Virga, who is the host of Unfinished Music. And also, you go to Greg's Facebook page, but also if you go to our website, and there's nothing local up there or nothing recent up there for Unfinished Music, there's a little box, a little Google search box right on the right-hand side of every page that we post. And it says right in there, search the site. And all you have to do is pump in Unfinished Music and or even Greg Virga, and all of his posts will come up with all of his concerts, his live in-studio productions that he's done. And they're really, really excellent. He talks to the musicians. He has a host, Annette Dion, sometimes co-hosts with him. And she's a musician in town as well as a businesswoman. And just good stuff. And I definitely encourage that. I want to shift gears a little bit because Josh is our resident historian. You want to put the mic down close to you?
Yeah.
There you go. Josh is our resident historian, and we've talked recently. Oh, by the way, still to come, we'll be talking with Bill Kirk in about 3 to 5 minutes here, and we can come back to this, Josh, if I run out of time.
Sure.
But we talked about Rantoul Street in Beverly recently, and you found something rather interesting.
Yeah, I did. Robert Rantoul Jr. was an attorney.
Does it have an S at the end of it?
No.
Okay, I thought I saw on there it did. Okay.
Robert Rantoul Jr. Was an attorney, and he was he lived in Gloucester for a period of time. I pulled up on Wikipedia. It said that he was a United States attorney for the District of Massachusetts from 1846 to 1849. He was elected in 1850 to the United States House of Representatives, to the 32nd Congress. Before his term there began, he was named as a Democrat to the United States Senate to fill the vacancy caused by the resignation of Robert Charles Winthrop, who had been appointed after the resignation of Daniel Webster, and resigned when he failed to win election to a full term. Rantoul served in the Senate from February 1st, 1851 to March 4th, 1851, and then in the House from March 4th, 1851 until his death. And it goes on to talk about his education, that he was mentored by... I lost that here, but he was mentored by some... I lost my place. Anyway, he did some really interesting cases in as a lawyer, sticking up for the little guy and taking on big...
It wasn't big oil back then, I presume.
It wasn't big oil, but he took on a number of... different causes and became a well-known person, an attorney, and they named a street after him in Beverly.
Big time, and I think that brings to mind, it's something we could do, I think, from time to time. I mean, if you get into the, everybody knows about the Apite Andrew Bridge, but who was Apite Andrew? They know about the Blinman Bridge, but who was Blinman? They know about Hammond Castle, but who was Hammond? And I think those kinds of things we can find all over the North Shore.
Yeah.
And some of the streets as well, some of the famous, Babson. Who is Babson? We see Babson everywhere, Babson Reservoir. So maybe we can get into that, and I would invite people to email
joshhonnold@verizon.net
for more on that, and with your suggestions, we can look it up, or you can send us your stuff, and you can let us know, too, at msonewsports@gmail.com. So there is a Rantoul behind Rantoul Street. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah,
good stuff.
I was going through, strangely enough, I was going through a list of former senators from Massachusetts, and who Everett, Crane's Beach, Everett, the city of Everett, Mills, and other ones, and Pickering, Senator Pickering.
Yeah.
And then there was the there was a recent thing about the they were talking about the tearing up of the of the president's speech being one of the worst issues, worst things that happened in the Senate and the chambers. And the, no. When Sumner, Senator Sumner, was beaten by another person with a cane and was never the same after that, that was the worst time in the chambers. But anyway.
So far.
So far, yeah. It's early.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Josh. That's pretty cool. I like that. We'll be right back with all things considered here. Nope, that's the wrong. I shouldn't use that phrase. We'll be, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll be back with Eagle Eye on the Merrimack Valley. This is Connections on MSO.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts. The North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features. Connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we are back now, and once again, very pleased to bring on the Eagle Eye on the Merrimack Valley, Kirk, who is a reporter for the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing good. Josh is here and trying to make sure that we stay. Yeah. Everybody I've talked to this week, Bill, and last week, I mean, it's only Tuesday, but the flu, colds, and all kinds of stuff. So it's I guess we're sort of peeking out here as we head towards spring. So you're doing okay.
Yeah, I did. You know, it seems like everybody in my office has gotten this cold. It's definitely cycling through. Yeah, it's and the flu, too, I guess, is hitting a lot of people as well.
Yeah.
But on the news front, you know, obviously there's always a lot going on in the Merrimack Valley that the Eagle Tribune is reporting on. And one of the stories we had in the paper today was the story about how the Trump administration is shifting some of its resources from the border to sanctuary cities. And Boston is one of them, and so is Lawrence. And when they say sanctuary cities in Lawrence, what that means is the police have been directed, you know, by the city council, the vote of the city council, and so city policy, not to cooperate with immigration agents seeking illegal immigrants unless they have criminal warrants out against them. So it's basically a non-cooperation policy. And now the ICE is going to be sending their agents out into these cities. I don't know if they're going to be in Lawrence. I know there's a lot of concern, obviously, because there's, you know, it's an immigrant city. And I know the mayor was concerned about it. I know he made a comment about it last week. And obviously Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is very concerned about it because, you know, he doesn't want these armed federal agents roaming the city and, you know, picking people up. You know, it just sort of sends a bad signal to, you know, to everyone in the public. Unless, of course, you agree with the policy, in which case you think it's a great idea. But, you know, I mean, these you know, the mayors and the city officials in these communities are very sensitive to what's going on with, you know, the people in their community.
Yeah, and you're right, Bill. I mean, that's the key to the whole thing is where you stand politically, I guess, because, you know, on the left, you've got people working in your community that you know have a hard time speaking English, but they're working so hard to better themselves, and they may not have all the legal documentation. On the right, you're saying, okay, great, but, you know, you're costing us money with this law enforcement. You're costing us money with, you know, with taking jobs, et cetera. So it's a political football.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the human aspect of it is obviously sort of heartbreaking. You know, you see these families kind of getting torn apart, and
And I guess, you know, if you're just a regular citizen and just seeing sort of, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm sure that the, you know, it's not going to be as bad maybe as they say, but you know, it's still still definitely a concern when the federal government starts to deploy this way.
Well, what's interesting in the article that Christian Slade wrote, he mentions that both Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey have written to the Trump administration, say don't do this. It's unnecessary, unwelcome, and dangerous.
Yeah, they sure have. They're definitely against it. And there's, you know, there's a lot of local, you know, nonprofits in Lawrence. The last time this sort of came up, when Trump was threatening to, you know, go door to door, they said what these local agencies told people. Well, they gave them a hotline number, first of all, to call in case somebody came knocking at the door. Said was just don't open the door, and that sort of simple measure prevented, I guess, the federal agents weren't allowed to knock the door down.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that kind of a situation. So if people, I guess the message there is, if people have a concern about, you know, this, you know, contact these agencies. I mean, there's a bunch of them in Lawrence. I can't remember the names off the top
mm-hmm.
of my head,
mm-hmm.
but they really do. They're there to help people who might have concerns about this stuff.
An offshoot of that, I think in Salem, when I was talking to Mayor Driscoll, you know, she said that some people in the community there, in the immigrant community, who are even here legally, this kind of thing scares them so much that they don't want to, if they're seeing a crime, they don't want to go to local authorities because they don't want to draw attention to themselves.
Yeah, that's a side effect that's really, that's just awful. I mean, I feel bad, you know, I feel bad for them, and it's not good for it's not good for law enforcement. I mean, it sort of works against them in that
right.
case.
What else is going on in your eyesight, Bill? It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked with you, and there's always something going on up there in your part of the North Shore.
Yeah, well, in Methuen, I've been covering, I've been writing stories about the, I don't know if you've heard this story about the police contracts and the superior officers in particular, were negotiated this contract where the top officer pay went from, I think, a maximum of, I don't know, whatever it was, 150, 160,000, up to literally some of them were slated to make over $400,000 a year. They would have been the highest paid police officers in the country
mm-hmm.
based upon this contract that they negotiated. So obviously the city council, the mayor at the time, who was Jujuga, he fought it. The city council fought it, and they knocked the pay down to around $200,000 or something like that, which was still too much for some people. So they're sort of locked in this. They're in arbitration right now, waiting for a decision, or actually a hearing in March to go over this. And they're sort of locked in this battle with the union folks, and the mayor, who's Neil Perry. He's a new mayor in Methuen, and he just announced he's going to have an audit. He's going to get the money for to do an audit of the police department, and just sort of look at the whole operation from top to bottom, and including this crazy salary increases that these guys were going to get, which everybody agrees it was too much, and so it's quite an ongoing battle that I've been writing about. And tonight they're actually having a meeting, and they're going to discuss the audit, and the city council doesn't have to approve it, but they're just going to go over the wording of it. And the police chief, I mean, the mayor is very serious about this audit, and he really wants to get it done and really have a good look at what's going on there.
What is it they want to audit? Are they going to hone in on, is it overtime work positions? Is it?
Well, it's a really interesting how they put this contract together. It basically what they did was, you know about the Quinn
yeah.
bill?
Yep.
They, that's an education incentive. And then they have longevity pay. So the longer you're there, the you get bumped up. Well, those were, in the past, they were stipends given to, in addition to your salary. And what they did was they bundled all of these things into the salary. And so by doing that...
It pushes your pension up.
By doing that in the patrolman's union, it made their salary go up. And then there's this thing where, that this is, I believe it's a state law, where the superior officer's salaries are based upon the patrolman's salaries. So if the patrolman's salaries go up, then the superior officer's salaries automatically go up. And the other thing that's interesting is the patrolman's salaries are related to the chief's salary.
Yep.
So if the patrolman's salaries go up, the chief's salary goes up. So everybody from, you know, the patrolman all the way up to the chief are all getting these pay bumps. And then there was something else they did, which they stacked in these, it's called stacking, but there's some multiplier effect that makes the pay go up even higher. And I think somebody was asleep at the switch when this whole thing happened. We haven't quite determined, but I think maybe an audit will figure that out. The other thing that's working on this, there was an inspector general report. They looked into it, did a very comprehensive review of the whole controversy. They're supposedly still involved into it. The mayor, in fact, met with people from the inspector general's office last week to discuss this. And the arbitrator, obviously, is studying it, holding a hearing on it in March, and will be making a ruling. So there's a number of investigations sort of going on simultaneously. It's kind of torn the city apart. I mean, a lot of people, you know, people love the police and they do a great job. On the other hand, they think maybe they're, you know, maybe being a little too greedy or something, and trying to, you know, make money from the taxpayers' dime.
Yeah, well, you certainly want it to be equitable both ways, and you certainly want the police
right.
to get their just due. But then there's a point of there's a threshold that probably shouldn't be crossed. You'll be covering this stuff and other
a story. I haven't actually seen the actual paper today, but about this issue. It's about the audit, so you know people can definitely look at that. There's some other stories. I mean, in North Andover, sort of the big story out of that was on TV news as well. There was a lawsuit that was filed on behalf of some high school students. I don't know if you heard about this, but two girls were charging sexual assault against former student.
Right.
The girls are both former students as well. What they're claiming is that while they were students, they were basically given sort of gag orders to not talk about it, stay away from the alleged perpetrator. They were treated, they claim, you know, really poorly by the administration. They say that they felt like they were the criminals, and so there's a lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court on Friday about this. And the attorney for the girls said that the school investigation the school mishandled the investigation. It was severe, pervasive, objectively offensive, effectively barred their access to educational opportunities. Yeah, the girls were actually moved out of the high school, or at least one of them was, and ordered to go to this alternative school. And meanwhile, the alleged suspect was, I guess he was an athlete. He was still allowed to continue going to school. And it was really, it's really a sad story. Meanwhile, the high school has changed its policies on how it deals with these things, which seems pretty obvious to me. But it's a crazy story, and And so the spotlight's sort of really on North Andover High School, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we just had the 1 Billion Rising event in Gloucester recently, and one of the things we were told, you know, was that you have to listen to victims. You've got to listen to them. And, you know, what came out of, I believe, Italy last week in terms of a bishop, an archbishop, you know, pushing this stuff under the rug, it's just, right. You know, you got to do what's right, and be interesting to see how that story plays out. And you got to feel bad for the kids. And you know what? Here's the other thing. This is an editorial comment, Bill and Josh. I had heard of stuff like this. Stuff you would get these kinds of second and third hand stories, or at least I did, over the years as a teacher. And now I was right. not involved firsthand. I didn't have firsthand knowledge, and I didn't, you know, I was not a witness, so there wasn't really anything I could do. Right. You know, you can't pass on a rumor. But I heard this stuff, and it was the same thing. The athlete, he didn't do anything wrong. The kids, you know, are you sure this happened? Or, you know, yeah. maybe you should dress better. And it's you know, it's a sad, sad state of affairs. Bill, I appreciate your taking the time, as always, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks. And by, you know, anytime you want to get stuff out there or promote anything that you or the paper is doing, please let us know.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me on.
All right, Bill, no, thank you, sir, and stay safe. We'll talk to you later.
See you, Bill.
Very good. That's Bill Kirk, who is the reporter for the Lawrence Eagle Tribune, and he is our eagle eye on the Merrimack Valley. And that's not the first time I've heard something like that, as I said. I heard it over the years. I couldn't say how many times, not many times, but more than once, let's put it that way. And again, it was it's very frustrating. I also know of an incident way back involving way back decades ago that had I known the individual at the time, I would have tried to do something, but I knew about it after the fact.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us do, and it's just those times have changed. I mean, we're as educators, anybody in an authoritarian position, man, you've got to protect the kids, and it's just there's just no excuse not to. So anyway, we'll see how that plays up in North Andover, and I don't know the facts. I'm just, as I said, just making a knee-jerk reaction here, but it's a familiar refrain. I know that. All right, we still to come. We're going to be checking in with Bill Newell in a second here after a quick break. He talks to Dave Radigan about hands-free driving. Now, that's not, you know what that elicits an image to me? You know.
Yeah.
Hands-free what?
That your hands are off the wheel.
yeah. Hands-free driving. But it's not quite that. But that's the image that comes to mind. How can I do hands-free driving? Well, we'll see what Bill and Dave have to say about that in just a minute. This is Connections on MSO, and again, my thanks to Bill Kirk, who is our Eagle Eye on the Merrimack Valley as one of the reporters, of course, from the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. Thank you so much. All right, let's take our next and final break here, and then we'll check in with Bill and Dave.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Dave Radigan is joining us now. Dave, welcome. Good to be talking with you.
Hey, great to talk to you, Bill.
All right, so comedian, educator, Dave Radigan is here with us. And, Dave, one of the top stories in Massachusetts, I think, for this week coming up is the hands-free law, hands-free driving law in Massachusetts, which means not as a young 18-year-old Dave Radigan might have thought, hands off the wheel while driving. It's hands off your cell phone device while driving, right?
Yes, exactly. No longer do I put my hands at 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock because now I'm an experienced driver. And I know that stuff they teach you in driver's ed, totally overrated.
No, really? All right.
I think the problem, Bill, is I think the biggest problem we have on the road is road rage. I'll tell you why. The other day, I'm driving a class. And like 7:30 in the morning, I'm in Beverly, and some guy gave me the finger. 7:30 in the morning. And I have no idea why. I looked up from texting, and there it was in my rearview mirror.
I did not expect that. Oh man, yeah.
So I can't do that anymore after this week. I'm stuck with that. It is funny. I mean, it's
that dinosaur of a joke. Yeah.
We try to, it's funny. We try not to text and drive, and I'm scared. As a parent, I'm very scared. As somebody who drives a lot, I'm very concerned about it because people, you can almost see when there are no skid marks on the road after an accident, you know that it's because somebody has been texting and they're distracted and they're maybe not going at a high rate of speed, but they're not hitting the brakes, they're not swerving away either. Because they just don't see it coming because they're looking down.
Yeah.
So,
you know what I was thinking of, Dave? You go back a few years like I do. But, you know, I remember the old days. Remember the talk show host Jerry Williams on WRKO? And he would rant and rave. I mean, rant about the seatbelt law. Remember that?
Yep.
And I'm wondering if Jerry were still alive today, whether he'd be ranting about the hands-free law. But, you know, I'm wondering, I think things have changed. I mean, we've had just so many things happen with what appear to be distracted drivers that, you know, it's one of those things that, it's probably about time we had the law, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know that I've seen the stats, and I can't recite them off the top of my head, but they're comparable to a drunken driver. And if you're texting and driving, your chances of being in an accident are worse, I believe, significantly worse if you're texting and driving than if you're drunk driving over the drunk driving. And if you're talking on your cell phone, your chances, I think, are equal to somebody who is a drunk driver. So it's definitely a good idea not to be on your phone. It's just so hard not to be. It's so hard not to be. It's like popcorn. It's like popcorn. It just, you know, it's just that thing of like, well, I'll only do it at the light, and then the light changes, and you've got to go because otherwise someone's going to lay on their horn behind you. Or, I'm only going to make this one call, and then you've got to look up the number. And as you're looking up the number, you're plowing into, you're plowing into some car in front of you. It's really, really dangerous, and it's a really good law, and maybe Jerry would be railing about it, but I think he might sound like the people who rail about against climate change, saying we should all be allowed to go back to the days of the giant SUVs and no emissions laws.
Yeah. You know, and it used to be distracted driving meant that you had a hamburger and you dropped your fries and were trying to pick them up. You know, those days are long gone, I guess, right?
I got to tell you, I used to in my early days of trying to. I don't want to give this away too much, so I'm not going to. I'm not going to even mention the sport that he coached. But I used to occasionally when I was very young and I was a sports writer, I would drive to a game with a coach, and he used to talk about how he could get his paperwork done for his job as he drove for the morning commute. And, you know, at the time, I'm thinking to myself, wow, this guy is very distracted. But now he'd get a safe driver award because he wouldn't be on his phone. He'd just be writing it all down because he was using a pen and pencil. But, distracted driving has, I think it's been with us for a long time. But I think the I don't know. What would you call it? Institutionalized? Maybe not institutionalizing. It's just more frequent. It's more frequent with a phone, and I think it's just too easy and it's just too addictive. And I know from teaching a class, teaching classes, it's just about impossible for people to stay off of their cell phones.
You know, David, it was a number of years ago when I got my last car, but I remember getting the car, and one option, you go one level, you get the hands-free Bluetooth into the car, and you get something else with it too. And the other way, I have a very simple car, but the other way you wouldn't have it. And my wife said, no, you should get that, you know. And I'm thinking, this is a number of years ago now. I said, Bluetooth device, you know, I don't think I would ever use that. You know, and why would I need that? But it is the greatest thing. It is absolutely the hands-free Bluetooth thing in the car is fantastic, you know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's funny because I don't know how much of an advantage it is to have. I mean, obviously, if you're having a conversation on the phone, is it that much different than when you're having a conversation with one of your friends in the car? I'm not really sure that it is. Certainly there are things that anybody who's driven multiple children around or teenagers around knows that there are that can be pretty distracting. But it does seem like two hands on the wheel is better than one. It does seem like, I don't even like loud music on in the car. If I'm driving around the city, I turn the radio down. I don't want the loud music because it does help me think when there's fewer things to distract me. And you have one of those devices that you purchase, little plastic things that you, you can put your phone in it and then you can stick it on your dashboard. And it works great if you've got to do it as I do. I use my phone for map, for GPS. And it works great. The only, as long as I don't go around a corner, because if I do, then it falls off and it goes on the floor near my brake pedal.
Yeah. I know my son-in-law got those things for their car. And I said, this is kind of crazy. And I would see them in the car. And then we ended up getting them, those little magnet things to put your cell phone on. But those things are fantastic too. It's like the loot that would be a big deal, but it actually is a very nice thing. And now they advertise the ones that are in the cup holder, but you can't put it in your cup holder if you have your cup holder filled with a cup of coffee or whatever and your fries, right?
You're exactly right. Eventually, we'll be able to buy cars with a lot of the stuff built back into the dashboard. I wonder if they, is the GPS, do they still sell cars with GPS?
I think they do. I think they do. I think they do have them, yeah.
I thought that would go the way of the dinosaur after phones came in and the phones were able to provide GPS because they were such really good GPS for the most part, as long as you don't go under a tunnel or anywhere near an old neighborhood with a lot of twists and turns. But it's been interesting to me how I don't know if they build them in. It seems like I said, I think the phone, they were a lot better with the phone, but now it's hands-free and you can't even like phone up to check. You've got to find a way to attach it to the dashboard, or maybe in my case, maybe it's time to get a new car.
Yeah. Well, I guess so many things change in life, don't they? I guess, and we just got to roll with it a little bit. But
we're gonna have self-driving cars, Bill. We're gonna have self-driving cars. All we're gonna have to do is get ourselves showered in the morning. We can just go down and sit in our cars, and our cars will drive us to work. And then at the end of the day, we'll get back in our cars. We won't have to do any thinking in the car, and we can use all of that time to do things like talk on the phone, do crossword puzzles, do our paperwork, maybe answer some email.
Yeah.
And, we'll be very, very different vessels. Of course, none of us will have jobs because we'll have been replaced by computers. So you just got to hope that Andrew Yang runs again and can give us all $1,000 a month.
Yeah, you brought up something with the distracted driving with the kids, and I remember when there were more kids in the back of the car, that could be an issue now. But I understand now with the teenagers, the teenagers, the young people there, they're not distracting you in the car in the back seat because they're all on their phone texting each other anyways. In fact, texting the person sitting right next to them.
I know. It's a good point. It's like as a parent, you sometimes encourage your kids and their friends to interact, and then they interact, and you realize what a bad idea it was, and you wish that they just got on their phones and left you alone.
Oh, man. All right, Dave, so we got the distracted driving bill, and I guess the nuts and bolts of it are that it takes effect at some point this week. Then there's a little bit of a grace period, but do watch out and and there are penalties related to it, obviously.
Stay off your cell phones. Stay off your cell phones. If you've got to be in your cell phone, clip it to your dash, and don't be a knucklehead.
Okay. All right. Well, I try not to be a knucklehead day in and day out, but,
it's in your genes.
Not always successful.
Yeah, hey. It can be hard. It can be hard.
Hey, here's one more thing. So, Dave, last Saturday night, just a few days ago, I'm at a basketball game over in Swampscott. I look around, and I wore sneakers because I'm walking around the court and stuff. not on the court, but around it and stuff. And I'm looking around. Everyone, other people have sneakers on too. And here it is, February 15th at that time. And we have sneakers on in winter. We've gone past the bean pot. We've gone past the anniversary of the blizzard of 78. And we're wearing sneakers in the winter. I mean, what's happened to winter here, Dave?
I'll tell you what's happened. People in New England develop short memories, probably because they're always on their cell phones and their brains have shrunk. But I think people, you forget that a week ago today, it was wicked cold. It was really, really cold. And then we got a little bit of warming last weekend, and everybody thinks, oh, it's a mild winter. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're going to say it's a mild winter before March 15th, then you're tempting fate. Because I cannot tell you how many times in my life people have said what a mild winter it was in late January. And then we get socked. And then in April, we're shoveling 4 feet of snow out of the driveway. So I think that I approach the winter the way I would approach a sleeping bear. Is that I just try and slip by it without it noticing that I'm even here.
Well, even the groundhog a few weeks ago, even though the groundhog didn't see a shadow, it still means that there's still 6 weeks of winter, right? I mean, or that I think if he sees a shadow, there's more than that or whatever. But there's 6 weeks anyways, as we talked about the other day, I think. But
right. Some people think, Bill, some people think that groundhog, not scientific.
Oh, really? Oh.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people will tell you that it's really no basis in science. It's just a matter of whether it's a sunny day.
Well, I guess it depends on who the groundhog is. I mean, there are groundhogs and there are groundhogs. But
some groundhogs have the gift.
Yeah, you have some groundhogs that are complete knuckleheads, Dave.
There are most of them complete knuckleheads. This sounds like the beginning of an M. Night Shyamalan movie about the groundhog that can actually predict the future versus all the groundhogs that are shams.
But to your point, Dave, it was 5 years ago when we had that horrible winter, but we didn't have anything bad until mid-April. And somebody was saying to me exactly what I just said to you, and I said to them, things could change. We might get some snow. And sure enough, we got a ton of snow. So, you know, I think things do change, and so probably in another week or so, we'll be looking at some snow. I think you might be right.
You know, Bill, I can recall it was probably 20 years ago, maybe 21, and I was living in Georgetown, and I had a long driveway, and on April 5th, we got 20 feet of snow. At least it seemed like 20 feet of snow, and I had to shovel that driveway. And since then, I've made sure never to buy a house or rent a place with a long driveway.
My old house used to be on a very steep driveway. It was pretty steep. It wasn't long, but it was pretty steep. And all the tumbles went in my younger years on that driveway shoveling. I'm glad I don't have that driveway anymore. Yeah.
That's good thinking. That's the kind of thing you'd have to get stuntmen to do your shoveling.
Exactly right. I did feel like a stuntman at times on that driveway. All right, Dave. We'll talk soon. I know you've got some shows coming up. We'll talk about some of those coming up. But you got some more news on that, I think, in another week. We'll check back with you on that as well.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bill.
All right, Dave. Stay warm because the winter's over, so you will, I'm sure, right? Winter's over, folks.
Yeah, you can say that. You can believe that.
Run with that.
I'm gonna continue to monitor the place that I left my gloves.
There you go. All right, there he is, Dave Rattigan with us here on MSONewsSports.com.
With his unique perspective, a lot of fun. And as we speak, Josh is on his cell phone here and looking at the text. Did you find what you're looking for?
No.
Okay. Well, don't do it when you're in your car. All right, as the the distracted driving law gets into effect, I think is a better way to look at it. I want to thank our guest, Greg Verga of Unfinished Music, Bill Kirk, who was with the Lawrence Eagle Tribune, and, of course, comedian and educator Dave Rattigan with Bill Newell. On Thursday, we hope to have a new edition of The Beer Pod with Tim Kearns, and this is the next generation of The Beer Snob, dedicated in the memory of the late Liam Flanagan, who did a great job with his blog on checking out the craft beers and the microbreweries in the region. Hopefully we'll have our next beer pod report with Tim Kearns on Thursday. Also, should be checking in with Michaela Guglielmi of Salem Recycles. They have a very unique program there in Salem where all kinds of good things happen, and we'll have other guests as well. And again, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com
or
joshverizon.net. Also, we hoping we're going to check into a blogger from the Wicked Local region in Ipswich and Topsfield. If all goes well, we'll see if we can make connections there. It has to do with wildlife and the Wicked Local reporting as well. All right, I think that'll do it. We have a hockey game coming up tomorrow night. Last regular season game as the winter is heading south. Oh, yeah, it really is as the Earth continues to make its circuit around the sun. We have Linfield at Gloucester and jockeying for a position. They are, I think, like number 7 and 8, respectively, or somewhere in that region in terms of Division II seeding. They may even be higher, but I think they're very close to each other, and we'll have more on that. I'll have a more accurate confirmation of that tomorrow. Linfield at Gloucester High School Hockey. The faceoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. from the Talbot Rink at the O'Malley School in Gloucester. So, any final thoughts there?
Nope, we're good.
You're all good. All right, that's good. That's Josh Arnold. Thanks to Bill Newell and, of course, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections on MSONewsports.com.